This week I want to talk about the hidden realm of warfare. About 3 weeks ago, when we were talking about Jesus' triumphs over demons, I introduced the idea, actually the Bible teaches us that there is a demonic realm, or there's a spiritual realm, where sometimes there's, you know, angels and demons fight against each other in this realm. And the verse that we, one of the verses that we use is actually in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. But let me read to you from verse 10 to 12, where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So we can see the Bible teaches us that there is a demonic realm that is trying to fight against Christians. They are trying to, and that's why, you know, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that we have to put on the whole armor of God. And if you want to know what those are, just keep on reading Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I just want to stay on verse 12, where it teaches us that, you know, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Unfortunately, many times when Christians do not recognize or do not know of the existence of the spiritual realm, especially the demonic realm, that we may think that certain people or certain situations or circumstances are against us, while in reality it may not be those people or those circumstances that are really against us, but it's the demonic realm that is provoking those people to come against us, or the demonic realm causing certain things to happen that will irritate us or really hurt us. If we do not know who we are wrestling against or who we are fighting against, then it's easy for our enemies to ambush us because, you know, we do not recognize them. But it's clear from the Bible, especially from this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it clearly tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not against the things that we see, not against the things that you know, our physical eyes can see, or our nose can smell, our ears can hear, or the things that we can touch. But instead, it's against the demonic realm that's living in the heavenlies, in the spiritual plane, that is not usually seen by our eyes, not usually felt by our touch, or that cannot usually be explained through the scientific method. It's a realm that's, you know, beyond the natural senses of the human being. And actually, if we do not recognize this warfare, then the demonic realm can easily ambush us and attack us, because, you know, we are fighting the wrong fight, or we're fighting against the wrong people. We're thinking that it's certain people who are against us, while in reality it's the demonic realm behind that is provoking those people to go against us, or provoking those situations to come against us. So, you know, as Christians, we should recognize there is a war, but it's not a fair war, because what Jesus did on the cross, he has already won the war for us, and all we have to do is to walk out in the victory of that war. I dealt with this in the 3 weeks ago when we were talking about Jesus' triumphs over demons. But I just want to talk about more about, you know, the ideas of demons and angels, and the idea of the spiritual realm. And one good thing, or one good passage to study when we want to talk about this, is actually in the Old Testament, where it gives us a glimpse into the spiritual realm. Actually, there are many passages, but this is one very clear-cut passage. It's found in Daniel chapter 10. Actually, the whole chapter, maybe from 1 to verse 14. But let me read it to you, and you can see the clear picture of what's going on in the heavenly realms, or in the spiritual realms. So Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat nor wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Verse 4. "Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Apparently this is not normal human being. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Verse 12, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. And the rest of the chapter basically is what the vision is. But I just wanted to focus on the first part of Daniel chapter 10, where we can see into the hidden realm, or the spiritual realm of warfare, where we see that there are angels and demons, and there are demons trying to stop or to hinder angels from coming to manifest himself into Daniel and to give Daniel the answer to his prayers. Actually, I want to focus on Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, no, actually verse 12 and 13, where the angel is telling Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, notice, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So basically what happened was that when Daniel started, you know, remember this is a 3 weeks time. So basically what the angel is saying is that on the first day of the 3 weeks, when Daniel started fasting and praying, that God already heard his request, and God already, not only did God heard his request, but God already sent the answer to his request. God basically told the angel, okay, angel, go down and show Daniel the answer to his prayer and what he was praying about. But what happened is that in Daniel chapter 10 verse 13, we can see that there is a spiritual being, or actually a demonic being, called the prince of the kingdom of Persia, who tried to hinder the angel from appearing to Daniel, or for the angel to give Daniel the answer to his prayers. In Daniel chapter 10 verse 13 it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So what happened is that the demonic being called the prince of the kingdom of Persia tried to stop the answer from reaching Daniel. Actually, he wasn't able to stop him, but he tried to hinder the answer from reaching Daniel. And, you know, he did a good job, because he basically stopped him for 20, he hindered him for 21 days. I want to make it clear that, you know, the demons cannot stop the answer of God. As God sent the answer through the angel, you know, the angel is on his way, and all the demons can do is try to hinder the answer and try to postpone the answer. But what God says is established. So this is actually in harmony with what Jesus taught us regarding prayer, because many times we pray and then, you know, we think just because it took longer than we think it should, that then we stop praying, or that we think that apparently God is not answering or hearing my prayers, or that God, or because of his silence, is saying no to my answer. Well, that's not necessarily the case, because if Daniel did not persevere for that whole 3 weeks, actually for the 21 days, then he would have he most likely will not be able to hear the answer to his prayer. He'll probably have missed out to the answer to his prayers. So this is a good reason for Christians to keep on praying until we hear the answer that comes from God. Jesus in the New Testament taught a similar attitude that we should have regarding prayer. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus taught us that we should keep on praying, and we should persevere in praying, and we should pray with passion and fervor. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18, and I'll read to you from verse 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Then he," meaning then Jesus, "spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So this is actually a parable that was spoken with a purpose, with an intent, that is given in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, where Jesus says, "Then he spoke," or the Bible says, "Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, teaching them that men should always pray and not lose heart." Why? Because many times, because we do not recognize that there is a spiritual realm where sometimes, you know, the answer is already given on the first day that we start praying, but because there are demons who are trying to hinder the answers from coming to us, they're trying to postpone the answer to come to us. You know, they don't have the authority or the that much power to stop the answer from coming to us, but what they can do is that they can postpone it, they can prolong the answer, excuse me, and so that the people who are praying will get either depressed or they will get discouraged and stop praying. Let's just think back in our own lives, you know, for all of us who are Christians, and how many times have we prayed, and because we do not get the answer immediately, that we decide to, you know, stop praying about it? How many times have we a burden to pray for people, but because we do not see the answer immediately, or we do not, you know, experience the answer immediately, that we automatically think, oh, apparently God is saying no, or that we just get discouraged and stop praying about that situation? Well, you know, if we know and recognize that there is a hidden realm of warfare, that sometimes, you know, answers may come to us postponed, then we are encouraged to keep on praying and saying that, you know, I will keep on praying until God answers me, until I receive the answer. Now, sometimes the answer may be yes, but sometimes the answer may be no. But keep on praying about it, you know, until you get the answer. Don't stop because it seems that God is silent, or don't stop because it seems that the answer is taking a long time. Stop only when you receive the answer. And as I said, sometimes the answer is no. If we turn to James 4, especially verse 2 and verse 3, we can see a legitimate reason that God will say no to our request. Where in James 4, God says, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So this is a legitimate reason that God gives why he will many times he will say no to our request. Well, because in verse 3, he's telling us that, you know, we are asking with the wrong motives. We're asking for our own pleasure. We're asking from our own self-centeredness. And many of those requests God will say no to. And, you know, there are times where God does not answer our needs because we do not have, because we do not ask. You know, if we don't ask, then many times, you know, those things that are freely given to us aren't given because we have yet to ask for it. So James chapter 4 is actually a really good chapter where we can learn about, you know, the answers to prayers and the things that God says yes to and no to. But, you know, keep on asking, keep on persevering until God gives the answer. Maybe it's yes, but sometimes it's no. But don't stop because we do not hear the answer or we do not receive the answer. Stop when God tells us what the answer is. One good example is with the Apostle Paul. Remember when he had the thorn in the flesh? And what he did was that he kept going to God and asking him to take it away. And he said that, you know, basically he said that he asked God, he kept on asking, and three times. And I guess the third or the fourth time, God finally gave him the answer to the request. You know, Apostle Paul did not just pray once and then thought to himself, okay, you know, apparently God is not taking this thorn in the flesh, whatever it is. You know, there are many theories of whatever it is, but it is clear from the Bible that it's a thorn in the flesh and it's a messenger of Satan. Actually, let's just, you know, go to that verse or that passage and read it, where it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. This is Paul speaking. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We can see the example that Paul gives us. You know, he did not pray once and said, oh, apparently God is not taking it away, so I'm going to stop praying. Instead, he prayed once and there's no answer. Then he prayed a second time that God will take whatever that is, the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, away from him. And God still did not answer, so he prayed a third time. And, you know, he kept on praying once, twice, and a third time until he received the message from God, or until he received the answer from God in verse 9, where God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, basically, I think God did say no to his request of taking that thorn in the flesh away from Paul, but God gave the answer no, but my strength is sufficient for you, or my grace is sufficient for you, to Paul. So this is a good example for us and to see and to emulate. Because what it is that, you know, it tells us or teaches us the perseverance we need to have in prayer. If you pray once and you do not receive the answer, then keep on praying. Do what Jesus taught us to do in Luke chapter 18, where he even told us a parable that you know, we should keep on praying and praying and praying until we receive the answer. And, you know, as we see in James, there are certain things that God will say no to if we pray in the wrong motivation and we pray for the wrong things. However, keep on praying until you receive the answer, whether it's yes or whether it's no. Keep on praying. You know, if you do not receive the answer, then maybe the answer is being postponed in the heavenly realms by the demonic realm. Maybe the answer is being opposed to and hindered by the demonic realm, and you know, if you stop praying before you receive the answer, then you may miss out on whatever the answer is. So this is just one quick example from the Old Testament, especially in Daniel chapter 10, of what a quick glimpse of the spiritual realm, what goes on in the spiritual realm. And what goes on in the spiritual realm does affect us living on this world, and does affect us in the natural realm. That's why Ephesians told us that, you know, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against these demonic realms, these spiritual forces of darkness. Because, you know, as Christians, you know, this is basically a call and a reminder for us that, you know, hey, you know, we should stand up to the demonic realms. We should first of all, recognize that they exist, and second of all, recognize that in Christ we already have the victory. And, you know, these demonic demons will try to do all they can to mess up our lives, do all they can to hinder our prayers from getting its answer. Actually, from trying to postpone our prayers from getting its answer, they can't hinder it. because, you know, they aren't strong enough to oppose the will of God. But what they can do is that they can postpone it so that we get discouraged. They can postpone it so that, you know, we stop praying about it. There is a passage in the Bible, actually in Proverbs 13, verse 12, where it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." So, and if we use it and put our situation in it, especially in regards to prayer, it says, "Prayer unanswered makes the heart sick." So what the demons are trying to do is that they're trying to make us so depressed and so sad that we stop praying. It makes our hope deferred. It makes our heart sick. But when the answer comes, when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So this is just a quick example, especially from the Old Testament, of how the demonic realm can affect our lives, you know, especially in regards to prayer, that they can try to hinder, they can try to postpone it, the answers to our prayers. And if we stop too early, if we stop praying too early, then we may miss out on the answers of our prayers. So hopefully this is just a quick glimpse into the hidden realm of warfare, and that, you know, for us as Christians, that we recognize that yes, there is a war going on, and it's a war not between us and other human beings, but it's a war, a spiritual war that's going on between righteousness and the hidden realm of darkness, and between the angelic realm and the Christians against the demons. Once again, as I said, you know, we have spoke about this a while back, is that this is not a fair war, because what Jesus did on the cross, he already won the war for us, and all we have to do is to walk out in the victory that Jesus has won for us. So let's close this time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for reminding us, Lord, that there is a hidden realm of warfare that's going on, Lord. But Lord, once again, I want to praise you, Lord, that you have already won the war for us. And Lord, this is just a good reminder for us, Lord, that we should not give up praying so easily and so quickly, but instead, Lord, many times that there are demonic forces that is trying to hinder and stop to postpone the answer to our prayers. But Lord, let us be people who are living out Luke chapter 18, that Lord, when we pray, we'll keep on praying. We'll pray with fervor, we'll pray with passion, and we'll pray until you give us the answer. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, right now I just pray for those who are sick, Lord, and those who have been sick for many years and who have been crying out and praying for you to come and touch and heal them. Lord, that, Lord, your answer will manifest soon in their lives, Lord. Your answer will break through all the opposing forces that's trying to stop it. And Lord, that you will touch them and heal them. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for anyone who has needs, Lord, that they have needs for years and years, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as they seek your heart, as they pray your will, Lord, as they pray according to your desire and according to who you are, Lord, that you will answer them mightily, and that your answer will manifest soon in their lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.